رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيدنا ومولانا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ظنوبنا بالقاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المظلومين المنتجبين المنتخبين الذين أضحب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من يوم عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه الكريم وقوله الحق وهو أصدق القائلين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
In the holy book of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, the only religion in the sight of Allah is Islam. When it comes to any religion, the teaching of every religion is there to make a person a better person. Every religion tries to focus on different aspects of life of individual, whether he is living in his house, whether he is out for work, whether he is doing some other thing. Every religion is trying to make the follower of that religion a better person, so that he could lead a better life in this world. And every religion, as far as the religions are concerned, almost every religion believe in the life in this world and hereafter. So everybody has their own concept of presenting that the life of hereafter. The thing which is very important is that we should know and we should try to find out one thing which can help us improve our life, or which could help us become a better person in this world. As my topic today is silence. virtue which is praised. What is the beauty of silence? How can silence, not saying anything, not speaking, how can it help us? If you see, the half of the world's problem can be solved by silence. If you see, the most of the problems which are there in the community, in the society, in the country, is because of what we say. Because we don't know where to stop. We don't know where to speak. We don't know how to speak. The most of the problem which we face in our life is due to our speaking. And the most of the things which rules the problem and creates problem is due to our tongue, our mouth. We don't know where to speak. We don't know where to shut. If you look at it, the sins which we commit from our tongue, from our mouth. We do backbiting, ghibat. We blame each other, tuhmat. We lie. We do bad things to one another. We curse each other. We swear at each other. If we start counting these things, the amount of sins a person does by his tongue, he doesn't do with his hands. If we just start counting the bad things, the sins which we commit with our hands and which we commit with our tongue, there is no comparison that between them. We can maybe hit someone, maybe we can do, you know, a thief can rob something with his hand, or some other crimes probably, you can count them by your fingers. But the amount of sin you can commit with your mouth, with your tongue, is way more than that which you can commit by your hands. So if you could control of your tongue, you can control a lot of your sins. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi said, if a person, somebody came to him and Prophet said, do you want to go to paradise? Do you want to go to heaven? Everybody would have said, yes, of course I want to go to heaven. I want to go to the paradise. He said, ya Rasulullah, yes, of course I want to go to paradise. He said, okay, all you have to do is give others ilm. The person says, okay, if I don't have that enough ilm, then what should I do? He says, give them money. Then the person said, if I don't have enough money, then what should I do? Then he said, help them with your physical power, whatever you have. See if you can do, if you can help him, whatever you have. In his livelihood, in his work, whatever you can help him with. The person said, if I'm weaker than him, then Prophet said, if you can't do anything, just keep quiet. Imagine, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to go to Jannah, all you have to do is to speak, don't speak. Whenever you're required, only speak there. Don't speak, just be silent. If two people are fighting and you'll just go and find out the reason, it's because there was somebody said something, the other one couldn't take it, and there was a fight. When the most of the time you see on the traffic signals, or during when there is a rush hour and everybody's trying to get to their home quickly, and whenever there is a fight or whenever there is an accident, it's because somebody has said something. Or if you're traveling in a local train. 90% of the time there is a fight because of something, someone said something. Somebody has said, okay, move in, there is enough space. In the peak car, there is no space, but somebody said something. And he just felt bad. I said, where is the space? And that's it. All the problem just begins from there. Because nobody could keep it shut. Nobody is willing to stop themselves. Once somebody said something, the other person feels that now he's obligated to say something even worse. Prophet Muhammad salawatullah wa salamullah alayhi, once upon a time he was sitting in the masjid with one of his companions, and a kafir, a non-believer, came in and started saying bad words to the companion sitting next to the Prophet. He was listening to him. The companion was listening to him. And after a while, when he said, "Now that's enough, that's it, I can't take it anymore," and he started replying him, the non-believer who came to the masjid, and he started replying with the even worse words, Prophet stood up and left the place. He felt bad. The companion of Prophet felt bad. Like, did I do something wrong? I was taking it. I was listening to him. He was swearing at me. He was cursing me. Then everybody has a potential now. I couldn't take it anymore. So I just replied to him. He went to the Prophet and asked, "Ya Rasulullah, did I did something bad? Did I did something wrong?" Prophet said, by the time he was cursing you, he was saying bad words to you, there was an angel who was replying him on your behalf. But the moment you started doing the same thing as that person was doing, the angel left and the shaitan took over. And wherever there is shaitan, I can't be there. So, we have to be very careful where to speak up and where not to speak. Imam Ali said, there is a very narrow line between the two bad things about your tongue, about your speaking. There's a very narrow line. There's two bad things, and in the middle, there is one good thing which we have to follow. What is that? The first bad thing is we should not speak too much. If we're going to speak too much, we don't know where to shut up. We don't know where to stop. We don't know what we're going to say. We don't have any idea where should we stop. So Imam Ali said, don't speak too much. Because you might be end up saying something which is going to hurt someone, and you're going to end up having a problem with somebody. One is that. The other thing is, don't be so much quiet. Don't be too soundless, voiceless. Even if somebody is doing zulm on you, even if somebody is doing oppression on you and oppressing you, you don't speak up. Don't be so voiceless. Because whenever there will be oppression, you won't be able to speak. So between the two things, you have to be very careful. You shouldn't be speaking too much, and you shouldn't be having no voice at all when there is oppression. So there is a very narrow line which we have to follow. So it's very difficult when to speak up and when not to speak. We have to understand, as I said, there's a lot of things which ends up because of we don't know when to stop. We don't know when to say what and how to say it. Sometimes the problem is we don't know how to say these things. Nowadays, in the modern generation, in the technology, in the time of technology, what happens most of the time, there are confusion because of the messages sent to somebody. The problem is, it's upon the one who is reading the messages. If you put on if you don't look, choose the words, doesn't have the emotion in it. You have to understand it by just reading it, by the mood of the person who is sending it to you. If you don't understand the mood of the person who is sending the message to you, you will end up having a confusion. Because none of us use exclamation mark or a question mark or a full stop. Even if you see the chat rooms or a WhatsApp chats, people are hardly using the full phrase. They're using a very shortcut. Half of the time when I get message, if somebody's asking me a question, I'm confused what he's trying to ask. Because I am not getting the point, what he means. It's like TTYL. It's like, okay, Khuda Hafiz. I actually searched that thing on the Google to find out what this is. Sometimes it's like BRB. I mean, what is that? I got confused. Like, what is this thing? And I asked him, what is this? He said, be right back. I said, okay. You could have told me that. I'll talk to you later. So the problem with us is, we don't know what we actually mean. And we don't put the exclamation marks, the full stop, or a question mark. So we don't know what the sentence actually mean. For example, a simple one. If you say, yes, he's a big alim. Yes, he's a very knowledgeable person. Because I'm saying it, you know what I mean. I'm praising someone. And if I say the same thing when I'm writing, yes, he's a very knowledgeable person. I meant in a funny way, but I wrote it, yes, he's a very knowledgeable person. How are you going to figure out what I mean? So, yeah, right. He's a very knowledgeable person. How do you know what I mean? Am I agreeing to your question, yes, whether he's an alim, he's a very knowledgeable person or not? Or am I making fun out of it? The problem is, the way we speak, it creates problem. And today the more the confusion is because we don't speak that much, but we write. And we try to convey our messages through writing. We have to be very careful even while we are writing these messages. So that we should just convey the message, what we actually mean. If you're meaning something good, and we end up getting into a fight because of the way it has been read. Because we don't put full stops and these question marks and everything to make our intention clear. So we have to be very careful about it. There are a lot of hadiths, unlimited. There are so many hadiths regarding your speaking, your not speaking. One of the hadiths in which Prophet sallallahu alaihi says, for all the bad things, there are keys. And the worst thing, the worst of these bad things is alcohol. The worst of the shar is alcohol. But then he continues his hadith and he says, the lying is even worse than that. When we lie, we don't know how much we're lying. How this is going to make other person's life better or worse. One of the companions of Prophet, he used to lie a lot. He had a lot of bad things to do. He was a thief. He used to rob things. He used to do a lot of bad things. He came to Prophet and he said, from the time of Jahiliyyah, before the Islam was there, I used to rob people. I used to lie a lot. I used to do bad things. What am I supposed to do if I want to get rid of all these bad habits? Prophet said one thing. Just don't lie. He got confused. I am telling you, Ya Rasulullah, that I rob people. I am telling you that I hate people. I am telling you that I commit a lot of crimes. And you're telling me not to lie. He said, yes. He didn't get it. Prophet said, okay, go. Come back after a week. Then we'll talk about it. He left the place. After a week, he went back to Prophet. And Prophet asked, so did you commit any sin? He said, no, Rasulullah. I didn't commit any sin. Prophet said, why? He said, whenever I wanted to rob someone, the thinking came into my mind, what if when I'll go to the Prophet and Prophet will ask me the question, did you do something wrong? Will I be able to tell him a lie that yes, I didn't do anything wrong? If I'll beat someone, if I'll rob someone, or if I'll do any crime, before I make an intention of doing any crime, this thing comes to my mind. What I'm going to answer to the Prophet, when he's going to ask me, like, did you commit any crime? Did you do any sin? And I won't be able to lie in front of the Prophet. So Prophet said, look, the key of all the bad things, رَأَثَ كُلَّ شَرْ الْكِذْبِ. The key of every bad thing is lying. If you stop lying, we will be clean of all the sins. We won't be able to do sin, because the moment we'll stop doing that, if anybody in our family, our elders, our parents will ask us, did you do something wrong? We won't be able to lie in front of them. When we won't be able to lie in front of them, we won't be doing any bad things. We won't be doing any crime. We won't be doing any such thing which will make us feel ashamed. So this is how we can stop ourselves. The most of the problem, as I earlier said, is because we don't know where to stop. The other thing which we do with our tongue, with talking more than required, is when we start talking a lot, we don't know where to stop. Sometimes we could have, the hadith, I was thinking about it. This was quite amazing for me when I was going through the hadith. It said, don't tell all the truth. You don't have to tell the complete truth. Sometimes telling the complete truth maybe cause a problem. Suppose two people are having problems and one of them were complaining about it. But in the middle of the complaint, he used to say, okay, he's a nice guy, but he does this wrong things too. So all we have to do is tell him, if you're quoting this to the same person who was spoken about, if you're telling him that the complete thing, all we have to do is quote him the good things, which the other person told about it. If we'll quote the good things about him, about the person he was speaking about, if you're going to tell only the good things about him, you're going to say, okay, we had a problem, now he is kind of trying to make it up, and now we can be friends again. We don't have to tell the complete truth. One time, there was this funny incident happened. One of my friends didn't go to the class one day. And next day when he went to the class, he saw the teacher actually put present on the when he was absent. So he went to the teacher and he said, excuse me, I wasn't present yesterday, and I think by mistake you have put present over here in the attendance register. So the teacher said, there's a hadith of Prophet. It says you don't have to lie, but it doesn't say you always have to tell the truth. So sometimes telling the truth even can cause you a problem. You don't have to tell the complete truth. If you're not telling the complete truth can resolve the problem between two mu'min brothers, then you don't have to tell the truth. That truth is worse than telling the lie. Because Prophet ﷺ said, the only place where you can tell a lie is where you can make two mu'min friends. If the two mu'min are having problem with each other, and you can resolve that problem by telling a small lie, then you can die in that place. If by telling a lie you can resolve a problem between two mu'min, you can lie over there. But by telling a truth, and if that truth can cause a problem between the two mu'min, that truth is worse than the lie you're telling for to making two mu'min friends. So sometimes we have to be very careful. The most of the sins is committed by our tongue. We are talking behind the backs of each other. That creates problem. If a person gets to know what was being spoken behind his back, he may not like it. That is why the worst of the sins is about the sins which are committed by the tongue. It's like doing ghibah. Al-ghibatu ashaddu min az-zina. The sin, the ghibah itself is worse than committing a rape or something like that. It's worse than committing a rape. Ashaddu min az-zina. Why? Because ghibat is actually you are disrespecting a person in the open. You're telling something. What is ghibat? We have to decide that first. A lot of people ask me, like, what is ghibat? What is the borderline of when we are telling the truth and we are doing the ghibat? There are a very narrow line between the two. So how we know where we are doing the ghibat or we are telling the truth? The ghibat is something, if we speak about someone who may be having this problem, but he don't want other people to find out about that people, to find out about their problem. For example, a person, he has a problem of lying a lot. He lies a lot. Or he makes fun a lot. But he doesn't want it to others to find out about what he does. So if a person doesn't want anyone else to find about that, and we tell other people that, okay, this person is always making fun of everyone who speaks to him. The moment you leave him, he'll make fun of you. Even though this thing is bad, whatever he's doing is bad. But if he doesn't want others to find out about this, and we are telling everyone else about this problem of this person, this is ghibah. Anything which we don't like others to find out, and if anyone is telling that thing to anyone else, that is ghibah. Because that we are actually sacrificing the reputation of a mu'min, of a person. So we should be very careful about where we should speak and where we should not. Most of the people who will go to hell is because of the crimes committed by their tongue. Most of them. Because we can't stop. We don't know where to stop. There's a hadith. In it, it is mentioned, we should even try not to lie while joking. I think this is hadith from Imam Sadiq or Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. صل على محمد. Why? Because it is said, it says, because when you start lying while joking, you're not serious about it. Once you'll get the habit of lying while jokingly, you will not even find out when you started lying genuinely or seriously. So we should avoid even making fun of the people while joking. We should have fun, but we should not disrespect anyone. Because there's a hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, the respect of mu'min worth more than the Kaaba itself. Because what we think when we say that our Qibla is Kaaba, but actually the Qibla is the place where the Kaaba is made, is built upon. That place is the Qibla. For example, if the Saudi government wants to shift the Kaaba, okay, we don't have enough space over here, let's shift this Kaaba to somewhere else. We have better space so that we can invite a lot of Hajjis. The Kaaba, the structure can go anywhere else. There's no harm in that. They can take the structure wherever they want. But the Qibla will remain at that place. So when Imam Sadiq is saying, then the mu'min has got more respect than the structure of the Kaaba itself, means you can destroy the structure, but you should not disrespect a mu'min. The problem is we don't know the value, our value itself. We don't understand how much we worth. We don't know how much the value we have. As I said yesterday, that when the hadith was asked, the person was there. I'm not sure whether because I was citing somewhere else and I mentioned this over there. There was this person, comes to Imam Sadiq and he says, Ya Abna Rasulullah, I'm very poor. I don't have anything. Imam Sadiq says, no, you are not poor. Then he says, I'm telling you the truth. I don't have not a single penny in my pocket. I'm very extremely poor. Imam Sadiq says, no, you're not poor. Then he says again, Ibn Rasulullah, I'm telling you the truth. You can inquire. You can send someone to my village and find out whether I'm telling you the truth or not. You can make an inquiry. Imam Sadiq says, no, you're not poor. He was surprised. He said, why are you saying so? Imam Sadiq said, I'm going to ask you one question. If you're going to answer me that question, then I'll accept that you are poor. The person said, okay, you can ask me whatever you want. Imam Sadiq said, I'm just trying to explain the value of a mu'min. With this simple question, you'll understand your value, how much valuable we are. Being the lover of Ahl Bayt is not a simple thing. How much it worth, you will understand by this question. Imam Sadiq said, if I give you all the money of this world, all the wealth of this world, and I ask you to take the love of Ahl Bayt out of your heart, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to take the love of Ahl Bayt out of your heart and in return I'll give you all the wealth of this world? Are you willing to do that? He said, no, Rasulullah. No, Rabbi Rasulullah, I won't be doing that. Then Imam Sadiq said, then don't call yourself that you are poor. You are so rich that you are not willing to give the muhabbat of Ali Muhammad for the wealth of this entire world. From next time onwards, you don't call yourself a faqir, you don't call yourself a poor person. When Imam Sadiq is saying that you can remove the Kaaba from its place, but you are not allowed to disrespect a mu'min, we should understand the value of a mu'min. How much we are worth of. The problem is ours, we don't know how much we are worth of. We think we are just normal person walking in the streets and alleys. We think we compare ourselves with another person. Okay, this person is having the same food that what I'm having in my house. We are just sharing the same streets and alleys, but our reputation, our value is millions times more than a normal person is having in this world. We don't understand how much we're worth. That is why most of the time we disrespect ourselves. Nobody else has to come and disrespect. We don't understand our value. We don't understand how much we are worth of. We are the muhibb of Ali Muhammad. If you look at the Ziyarat Ashura, it says, لَعْنَاللَّهُ مَنْ قَتَلَكَ بِالْأَيْدِ وَالْأَلْسُنِ. We read it every day. May Allah curse those who killed you by their hands and alsun. What is this alsun? We can find those people who actually killed Imam Hussein in the Karbala with their hands. But what does this alsun means? May Allah curse those who killed you in the plain of Karbala with their hands and with their tongues. Imagine the person who killed Imam Hussein with his hand, and whoever has said a bad word is equal to what actually has been done with the hand. He'll face the same consequences, the person who killed Imam Hussein by his hand. And the dua goes on and said, وَرَضِيَتْ بِهِ. What is رَضِيَتْ بِهِ means? Actually, we don't go to we read these du'as, we read these ziyarat every day, but we don't go through the translations. فَرَضِيَتْ بِهِ means, and also those who agree on these things, to agree on this killing of Imam Hussein, you don't have to be in the Karbala. If anybody in today's world who agrees with the actions taken by the Yazid of that time, is actually one of the killers, one of the murderers of Imam Hussein. He's going to be facing the same consequences which Yazid ibn Muawiyah is going to face. فَرَضِيَتْ بِهِ. Whoever is actually razi with this action, whoever is agreeing with this action, is going to face the same consequences. Look at this. Even in the dua it says, those who have killed with their hands and with their tongues. We have to watch our tongue. Sometimes we make fun of things. But we should be very careful. Let's not be one of those who are actually doing something in no, God forbid, we get into something which is actually end up disrespecting Imam Hussein. Some of us try to do good, but end up doing bad. Some of us try to actually help people, but we end up doing creating problems for them. We want to do something good, but we have to be very careful whose side we choose. In Karbala, there were two brothers. The thing is, we should know before telling each other this is good thing, this is bad thing, or this is good thing. Amr bil ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar. Imam Hussain said, why I'm going to Kufa is actually to revive the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad and do Amr bil ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar. This is why I'm coming out of my home. Before doing that, we have to be very careful about Amr bil ma'ruf. What is Amr bil ma'ruf? Sometimes we think that we are telling others to do the right thing, while we're not understanding that what we are telling others to do the right thing is actually not right, it's wrong. In Karbala itself, there were two brothers. One was on the side of Yazid, Umar ibn Sa'd, and other one was on the side of Imam Hussein. On the 9th of Ashura, on the 9th of Muharram, on Shabi Ashur, the brother on the side of Umar al-Sa'd comes to near the camp of Imam Hussein and calls his brother. His name is there in the history. He calls his brother and he says, when his brothers come, and what he's trying to do, he's saying, I'm here to do Amr bil Ma'ruf. The person who came from the side of Umar al-Sa'd is trying to do Amr bil Ma'ruf to his brother who is on the side of Imam Hussein. He comes there and tells his brother, look, I'm here to save you because you are on the wrong side. You are in the army of someone who has done a khuruj, who is opposing the caliphate of the time, who is opposing the hakim of the time, the ruler of the time. The ruler is Yazid ibn Muawiyah. So anyone going against their Muslim ruler is a crime, is a sin. In his eyes, anybody of us will see that if this is the way we're going to put the things, anyone will see, okay, yes, he's telling the truth. Anybody who is going against the ruler, against the Khalifa, is actually doing the wrong thing. So what he's trying to do, he's trying to convince his brother to leave the side of Imam Hussein and come to the side of Umar al-Sa'd. He's trying to do the Amr bil Ma'ruf, but he don't know the Ma'ruf. He don't know what is right. He's trying to do the right thing in his eyes, but actually he's doing the wrong thing. So before doing the Amr bil Ma'ruf, we should know whether we are doing it correctly or not. We have to be very clear on whose side we are on. If we don't know which is the right side and which is not the right side, we probably end up before, maybe the person who is not doing wrong thing, we call him and make him involved in something wrong. Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy anil Munkar is very important. But before doing that, we should understand what is Amr bil Ma'ruf and what is Nahy anil Munkar. If we don't know what is right, we can't tell anyone else that this is right. We have to know the right thing first before telling anyone else whether this is right or wrong. Now I would like to recite the Masaib today. As is requested, inshallah I'll be reciting in Urdu. Please recite salawat. جب کاروان حسینی مکے سے نکل کر کربلا کی جانب جا رہا تھا تو منزل ثعلبیہ پہ جو مولا نے قیام کیا اور ظہر کے وقت نماز کے بعد مولا کچھ دیر کے لیے جب آرام فرمانے لگے اور ان کی آنکھ لگ گئی اور وہ سو گئے تھوڑی دیر کے بعد جب آنکھ کھلی تو مولا گریہ فرما رہے تھے مولا رو رہے تھے علی اکبر پاس آئے اور آنے کے بعد سوال کیا بابا آپ کی گریہ کا سبب کیا ہے آپ کے رونے کا سبب کیا ہے کیوں رو رہے ہیں آپ مولا نے ارشاد فرمایا کہ میں ابھی جب تھوڑی دیر پہلے سو گیا تھا اور اس وقت کا خواب صحیح ہوا کرتا ہے میں نے خواب میں یہ دیکھا کہ ایک شخص ہے جو گھوڑے پر سوار ہے اور اس نے آنے کے بعد مجھ سے یہ کہا کہ جس تیزی سے تم کربلا کی جانب جا رہے ہو اسی تیزی سے موت تمہیں جنت کی طرف لے جانے کی جا رہی ہے اسی تیزی سے موت تمہیں جنت لے جانا چاہ رہی ہے یہ سننا تھا کہ امام حسین نے کہا کہ بیٹا مجھے اس خواب کو دیکھ کے لگتا ہے کہ ہماری موت نزدیک ہے علی اکبر کا یہ معروف جملہ ہے یہ منزل ثعلبیہ پہ انہوں نے فرمایا انہوں نے مولا سے پوچھا بابا کیا ہم حق پر نہیں ہیں کیا ہم صحیح راستے پر نہیں ہیں امام حسین نے فرمایا بیٹا جس کے ہاتھوں میں ہماری رزق ہے اس کی قسم ہم حق پر ہیں, جو ہمیں رزق دینے والا ہے اس کی قسم ہم حق پر ہیں. یہی علی اکبر ہیں کہ جب 10 محرم کو اصحاب اپنی جان کو قربان کر چکے اور اب اصحاب میں کوئی نہ رہ گیا, تو بنی ہاشم میں امام حسین نے سب سے پہلی قربانی علی اکبر کی پیش کی. کون ہے یہ علی اکبر؟ علی اکبر وہ ہیں کہ جن کے بارے میں امام حسین فرماتے ہیں کہ جب کبھی میں چاہتا تھا کہ رسول اللہ کی زیارت کر لوں تو علی اکبر کو دیکھ لیا کرتا تھا, جب کبھی چاہتا تھا کہ میں رسول اللہ کی زیارت کروں تو علی اکبر کو بلا لیا کرتا تھا. یہ وہ علی اکبر ہیں. علی اکبر کو تیار کیا, تیار کرنے کے بعد کہا جاؤ بیٹا علی اکبر, جا کے اپنی پھوپھی اما سے اجازت لے لو. کیوں؟ کیونکہ جب علی اکبر پیدا ہوئے تھے تب سے لے کر آج تک 18 برس کی عمر تک جناب زینب نے علی اکبر کو پالا تھا. جناب زینب کے خیمے میں آئے, جب کوئی کسی کو بچپن سے پالتا ہے تو اس کی ہر ایک عادت سے آشنا رہتا ہے, ہر ایک عادت کو پہچانتا ہے. علی اکبر جناب زینب کے خیمے میں آئے اور آنے کے بعد سر جھکائے کھڑے ہیں, کچھ بول نہیں رہے ہیں. جناب زینب نے اس خاموشی کو فوراً پہچان لیا, بچپن سے پال کے 18 سال کا جوان کیا ہے. علی اکبر کی خاموشی کو فوراً پہچان لیا, پوچھا علی اکبر کیا چاہیے, کیوں سر جھکائے کھڑے ہوئے ہو, کیا چاہتے ہو, کچھ پوچھنا چاہتے ہو, کچھ چاہیے تم کو, کچھ مانگنے آئے ہو. علی اکبر سر جھکائے کھڑے ہوئے ہیں, ایک مرتبہ سر کو اوپر بلند کرتے ہیں اور کہتے ہیں یا اماں, اے پھوپھی اماں, میں آپ سے اجازت لینے آیا ہوں, میں آپ سے اجازت مانگنے آیا ہوں کہ آپ مجھے اجازت دے دیجئے تاکہ میں میدان جنگ میں جا کر اپنے بابا کی نصرت کر سکوں, میں میدان جنگ میں جا کر اپنے بابا کے لیے اپنی جان کو قربان کر سکوں. اتنا سننا تھا کہ جناب زینب گریہ کرنے لگی, رونے لگی. فرمایا اے بیٹا علی اکبر, کیا 18 سال چکیاں پیس پیس کر اسی لیے کسی دن کے لیے تمہیں پالا تھا کہ ایک دن تمہیں قربان ہونے کی اجازت دے دوں؟ علی اکبر نے یہ سنا, سننے کے بعد صرف ایک سوال پوچھا, اے پھوپھی اماں یہ بتائیے کہ جب کل قیامت کے دن دادی فاطمہ سامنے ہوں گی اور آپ سے یہ پوچھیں گی اے زینب تمہیں علی اکبر زیادہ پیارے تھے, حسین میرا پیارا نہیں تھا, تو آپ کیا جواب دیں گی؟ اتنا سننا تھا کہ کہا جاؤ علی اکبر جاؤ, میں نے تمہیں اجازت دی. بابا کے خیمے میں آئے, مولا کے خیمے میں آنے کے بعد فوراً مولا نے ان کو آمادہ کرنا شروع کیا, رسول کا امامہ سر پہ پہنایا, رسول کی آبا دوش پر ڈالی. اب یہ چاہے کہتے ہیں کہ حسین علی اکبر کو جو شبیہ پیغمبر ہے انہیں میدان جنگ میں بھیجیں, اس وجہ سے آمادہ کر رہے ہیں کہ شاید جب شبیہ پیغمبر کو دشمن دیکھے تو شاید اسے کچھ رحم آ جائے. اپنے ہاتھوں سے جوان بیٹے کو سوار کیا. اب جب علی اکبر مقتل کی طرف چلنے لگے, تھوڑی دیر کے بعد یہ محسوس کیا کہ کوئی پیچھے پیچھے آ رہا ہے, پلٹ کر دیکھا تو بوڑھا باپ کمر پر ہاتھ رکھے ہوئے میدان کی طرف آ رہا ہے. پلٹ کر گئے, اے بابا آپ نے تو ہمیں رخصت کر دیا تھا, آپ نے تو مجھے جانے کی اجازت دے دی تھی, اب کیوں پیچھے پیچھے آ رہے ہیں؟ اے بیٹا علی اکبر, تم اس بات کو تبھی سمجھ سکتے جب تم صاحب اولاد ہوتے. تمہیں کیا پتا کہ جوان بیٹے کو مرنے کی اجازت دینا کتنا سخت مرحلہ ہے. اجرکم اللہ, جوان بیٹے کو اجازت دی, پھر سے رخصت ہوئے علی اکبر. اب میدان جنگ میں جاتے ہیں, تبھی میمنے پہ حملہ کیا, کبھی میسرے پہ حملہ کیا, دشمنوں کو بنار کرتے جا رہے ہیں. ایک مرتبہ ایک شقی نے ایسا نیزہ مارا, علی اکبر گھوڑے سے زمین پر آئے. ایک مرتبہ
مرتبہ سوا سلام کیا, یا آباتا علیکہ منی سلام. میں نے علماء سے سنا ہے کہ یہ الٹا سلام دینے کی کیا وجہ تھی, السلام علیکہ کہہ دیتے. علماء فرماتے ہیں کہ الٹا سلام اس لیے دیا جاتا ہے کہ اس کا جواب واجب نہیں ہوتا. علی اکبر نہیں چاہتے تھے, وہ جانتے تھے کہ میرا باپ بوڑھا ہے, وہ جوان کا لاشا نہیں اٹھا سکتا ہے, وہ کیسے میرے لاشے تک آئے گا. میری آواز سنتے ہی ساتھ علی اکبر کی آواز سنا, اب میدان کی طرف چلے. جانے کے بعد آواز دیتے جا رہے ہیں, اے بیٹا مجھے آواز دو, مجھے پکارو, میری آنکھوں کے سامنے اندھیرا چھا رہا ہے, جوان بیٹے کی لاش ہے. جیسے ہی اس کے مرنے کی خبر سنتا ہے انسان, اس کی آنکھوں کے سامنے اندھیرا چھانے لگتا ہے. مولا مقتل میں ڈھونڈ رہے ہیں, علی اکبر پکار رہے ہیں. علی اکبر کے سرانے پہنچے, دیکھا ایک نیزے کی انی کلیجے میں لگی ہوئی ہے, کبھی دیکھا نہیں جا رہا ہے. علی اکبر میدان کربلا میں ایڑیاں رگڑ رہے ہیں. ایک مرتبہ امام حسین نے علی اکبر کے جنازے کو اپنے گود میں رکھا, اپنے ہاتھوں سے گرد کو صاف کیا. جیسے ہی بابا کو دیکھا, اے بابا بہت تکلیف ہو رہی ہے. امام حسین نے اپنے رخسار کو علی اکبر کے رخسار پر رکھ دیا, گریا فرمایا. اس کے بعد نجف کی طرف رک کر کے آپ نے آستینوں کو الٹا, اور جیسے ہی نیزے کے انی کو کلیجے کے سمیت باہر نکل آئی, اور روح علی اکبر پرواز کر گئی. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلِبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. بار الہ ہماری اس مختصر سی عزا کو قبول فرما, بار الہ ہم میں جو مریض ہیں ان کو شفاء کامل عاجل عنایت فرما, بار الہ شیعان حیدر کرران جہاں کہیں بھی ہیں ان کے مال اور ان کی عزت و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما, بار الہ ہمارے مزارات مقدسہ کی حفاظت فرما, بار الہ ہم میں سے جو حج و زیارات کے مشتاق ہیں انہیں حج و زیارات سے مشرف فرما, ہمارے امام زمانہ کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما, اور ہم سب کو ان کے اعوان انصار میں شمار فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم.